The JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino. The World Series of Poker Circuit comes to Pottawatomie January 31st through February 11th. Play for a guaranteed prize pool of $750,000. More at paysbig.com/WSOP. That's paysbig.com/WSOP. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com. Podcast. I'll get it out, Jim.
We'll get
one
there.
One way or another. I'm Tom Silverstein, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm here with Jim Osarski, also of the Journal Sentinel, and we're here to talk everything Green Bay Packers that there possibly could be. And really, that's not very much, is it?
See you next week, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Be sure you tip your staff, wait staff. I don't know. So, you know, there's a lot going on here in Green Bay and lots of speculation on things. Let's talk about that first. Let's just get that over with. I'm just going to say right now that a decision on Mike McCarthy hasn't been made. I don't believe it has been. I think there's five games left in the season, and I actually think this could be a pretty good barometer of whether McCarthy has kept the team, whether they're still playing for him, and whether they got anything left between him and the quarterback. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, because, look, the rest of this schedule, save for that game at Chicago, Tom, I mean, they're inferior teams.
Yeah.
And while the Packers at 4-6-1 are, I mean, by record, an inferior team, I mean, that just shows you how bad, you know, this schedule is. And you've got, you know, two teams at home. I know you and I disagree a little bit on how strong Atlanta might be, you know, in a couple weeks. But look, 4-1 is not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
And look, even going down to Chicago, who knows what they're even playing for at that point.
Right. Who knows if Trubisky is healthy.
Right. So, I mean, it
plus they win there all the time.
Right. You know? So, I mean, it's – however, I have seen it coming from Cincinnati. I've seen teams kind of mail it in and lose badly at home and then lose to you know, which does say a lot about the coaching staff and how the players feel about preparing and where their focus is, you know, down the, you know, clearly in the off season or whatever it may be. So you're right. I think how they play, you know, of course, I think if they play well, they'll win. But how they play, I think, will matter.
Yeah.
To Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst.
And how Aaron Rodgers plays, I think, will matter a lot. Because it's pretty obvious that there's a disconnect between either Rodgers and the offense or Rodgers and McCarthy, and probably both. One is the other. And I don't know what McCarthy can do. I don't know what Rodgers wants. I wish he would just stand up and say, this is what I want, and this is what's missing, and we need to do that, you know, and Mike, please do this. You know, I'm kind of tired of guessing.
Right. You know? You're right. And look, I think Randall Cobb sort of set the table a little bit, Tom, to a degree on Thursday when he said Aaron has seen and read all that's been written this week, which the narrative has sort of turned, you know, before it was Mike McCarthy standing up there taking all the bullets nationally, and I think nationally now people, I think Sunday Night Football, throwing a 3rd-and-2 in the dirt, misplaying, you know, Devontae Adams deep, even the 3rd-and-2 to Marquez Valdes-Scantling against Seattle. I mean, national people now have seen what Packers fans, what we've seen on the beat all year. And it's turned out, well, wait, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing well. What's wrong with him? Where's his focus? Where's his footwork? And Randall Cobb said, he, the quote was, he's going to light it up.
Yeah.
Start going forward. So, I mean, I guess if you're Aaron Rodgers, you almost, if you're going to, you kind of almost have to.
Well, then it's going to be my fault that they go to the playoffs.
Right.
Because I did all I could to criticize them in the column before the Vikings game. But, you know, I don't know. He has to get back to playing loosely. I mean, he's gotta take some chances once in a while. I think that's where he's really lacking, in that he's enamored with that one interception total. Like, if they could somehow get another interception, you know, McCarthy could have Randall Cobb, you know, just throw a Hail Mary or something, you know. I guess that wouldn't be charged to Rodgers, but, you know, something to get him off that number, because I think that's part of what's going on, is that he's just determined not to throw an interception.
Which is interesting. You know, and that might explain maybe why, to a degree, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has disappeared. I mean, we've spoken about this. You know, where has he gone? Where has all the other options gone? Well, look, who's the biggest body left outside of Geronimo Allison on the perimeter?
Mm-hmm.
It's MVS. Where, I mean, if you're going to take advantage, if you're going to throw a 50-50 ball, sure, we know Davante Adams. I'm not, he should get those chances too. But, I mean, if Valdes-Scantling isn't wide open, throw it to him. He's 6'5". You know what I mean? Use exactly. that catch radius. He's
what happened to Jimmy Graham? I think that was supposed to be his. You could just toss it up there. Now, he's got a broken thumb now, but still, he made a tough catch down the middle.
That idea, of okay, maybe they're not where you wanted them to be. Okay, so they're not there. We'll throw it where they are and see if they can make a play for you.
Yeah. Now, I've been hammering on Rodgers, not constantly, but he has to take some blame. But I'm not going to totally relieve McCarthy of the criticism either, because I think when you look at how well they come out against Seattle and against Minnesota, and even you could go back to the Rams, you know, they come out, bam, bam, bam. They go right at them, and then they just stall. And to me, that's got to be something about how they're game planning. You know, I don't know if it's the script. They're so good at, you know, making these scripts, and then they don't know how to adjust after that or what. But there is an issue there in my mind.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that both McCarthy and Rodgers really admitted as much Sunday night, where they said, well, they went to cover two, which we weren't ready for. And, I mean, they essentially admitted to being outcoached and outmaneuvered. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe the quarterback at this point in his career can help move some people around to better combat that if that's what he's seeing. And he did say that that's when they finally hit some stuff to Graham up the seam. But to your point, those bunch formations, the jet sweeps, the fake jet sweeps, the very positive things that they've done of late, and I think has been Mike McCarthy, Joe Philbin, Jim Hostler sort of responding to the criticisms of where's these innovative plays from around the league. I think those 15, 17 plays, you see it.
Yeah.
But after, you're right, after that, you don't, it's, where do they go?
Yeah. And you know, there's just some things that seem missing, and I'm not an offensive guru. I don't profess to be one of those internet experts who looks at the all 22 and can, you know, judge patterns and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it seems to me that there's very rarely checkdowns to the running backs. They don't throw to the backs all that much. They don't run very many slants anymore. You know, they got some big-bodied receivers to me that and I actually asked Joe Philbin about that on Thursday, about why they don't seem to throw slants anymore, or whether it was in his offense. And, you know, he said it was, but that teams really work hard to take it away from them, probably a especially Adams, because he would be really good on slants. I don't know if I believe that 100%. I do believe that, you know, there's teams who do work to take away the short stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah, what did you make of the sort of the back and forth on that topic? So Joe Philbin a week ago, when was asked about running backs, said, well, historically, running backs haven't really been an option in this offense. It's progression-based, and if they're not protecting, they're sort of an afterthought, and had always been that way. And then Aaron Rodgers sort of doubled down on that this past week, Tom, by saying the focus all through camp and in practice has been down the field. So to me, and then Mike McCarthy says, to tie a bow on it, I'm comfortable with the decision-making. So this is all public. We don't know what's going on in the meeting rooms, but, I mean, they're all in lockstep with how this offense is designed and how the quarterback's running it.
I mean, publicly.
Which really, I mean, you're talking about three voices over a span of a few weeks that haven't really varied, and one of those voices would be more likely to vary than the other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and he may have been defending himself. Rodgers may see all those internet film breakdowns and see. Right. But,
We don't know what the call is. We don't know how many times Rodgers is changing the play. We don't know how often he's telling guys in the huddle to run it differently than what's being called, you know, which he's been known to do. He did that on the Jared Cook play in Dallas. He told him, just drew it in the dirt. And then he was a hero, you know, for changing the play, you know. And now, you know, you wonder whether he's doing it too much. I will say this, that, you know, I thought Joe Philbin was a great addition to the offensive staff. And I do think he's a really good coach, but I think the problem that McCarthy has is that he's brought in too many of his own guys, guys he has histories with, instead of bringing in some guys with new ideas. You know, these guys really know that offense, and they have some experiences from other offenses, but they're West Coast disciples, and you know, I think he needs to do what Andy Reid did, which is bring in some college guru guy who, you know, really knows offense, or, you know, some young up-and-coming guy, and add him to his staff if he's back next year.
Right, yeah, that's and Andy Reid's a good example. I know people have tied that to Mike McCarthy, but I think it fits because it's a longtime offensive coach in Green Bay, you know, direct chain to Bill Walsh and that whole thing. But you're right. I mean, Jim Hostler goes back to Mike McCarthy as a coach for the 49ers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Hostler was his quarterback's coach or was on that staff back then.
Yeah. And then Cignetti was in New Orleans, I think, with him. And of course, Philbin was here. Who else are we forgetting?
So, and look, Andy Reid didn't, you know, Matt Nagy was part of the younger group of coaches, but Doug Peterson, you know, and a guy who played in this West Coast offense. Mm-hmm. But what he did was bring in Chris Ault, who helped design the RPOs with Colin Kaepernick. And why was that? Because Alex Smith was good at that.
Yeah.
And it sort of opened his eyes to these are things to tailor. You know, and look, Aaron Rodgers, knee injury aside, I think Aaron Rodgers could athletically run anything.
Sure.
Right? He can throw anything. So I think,
I mean, you don't want him in the, you don't want him doing Lamar Jackson.
No, right? No. But I mean, you can move him and do different things.
Talking about Andy Reid, I mean, he even had Brad Childress go out and view all the run and shoot stuff or something like spread offenses.
Right, yes.
And
he's like a spread offense coordinator or something like that. He's got a weird title there.
I mean, to go and study it and bring it back and figure out how to incorporate it. You know, maybe McCarthy needs to get a young Kyle Shanahan type to come in and call the plays and add some spice to the offense. I don't know. We'll see if it gets to that point. You know, there's other aspects to it, too, in that Rodgers has more freedom. You know, if they get a new coach, and he's Josh McDaniel, Okay, everybody wants Josh McDaniel. Do you think Josh McDaniel is going to give Rodgers all the freedom that he has now to change planes? I don't think so.
No, that has to be, I mean, some respect will be given, but that would have to be earned both way. I mean, Aaron Rodgers would have to respect and earn whatever with that guy. And, I mean,
Josh McDaniel and Brady have been shouting matches, right. You know. And I'm sure it's because McDaniel won't give in on some stuff.
Yeah, and
he's got the big boss behind it,
right?
You know?
And that's the thing. I mean, a new head coach, you know, depending on who that is and where they come from, that's a great point, Tom. Mm-hmm. It really is, because one of the reasons Rodgers has that power or freedom, if you will, is length of time. Respect. I mean, he knows this offense as well as...
Well, yeah. He's been with McCarthy, right. And McCarthy has given it to him over time. They bring in a young guy like, you know, like Shanahan or guy in for the Rams.
Sean McVay, yeah.
Sean McVay. You know, can that guy control Aaron Rodgers? Can a young guy, first-time coach, come in and control Aaron Rodgers? I don't know about that.
It's a great question. I mean, Sean McVay, you know, it was interesting when he was hired and they signed Andrew Whitworth, the all-pro left tackle, and the reason it was brought up, wow, the left tackle's older than the head coach. Well, but the quarterback's still only 21.
Right, exactly.
And in his second year.
Exactly.
And you know, that Todd Gurley is a running back and younger, but that was the thing. It was the second-year quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, Doug Peterson, he gets Carson Wentz, you
right.
know. I mean, mold him, you know, get him how you want him, and in that offense, you know, in that particular offense.
Yeah, could Lincoln Riley, you know, stroll off the campus of Oklahoma
right.
and say, this is, it's a great question.
Yeah, so I don't know, and I don't know the answer, but I do believe it would be very difficult. And I think when Ted Thompson hired McCarthy and Favre was there, that was a consideration also. You know, Sean Payton was one of the candidates, and so was McCarthy. And they needed to look at someone, you know, who could control Favre. And that was a big deal. So, anyway, I all of that has to be taken into consideration. And I'll just add that... you know, just to add on to what I wrote this week in the column, I still think Brian Gutekunst has got to make the decision on whether McCarthy stays or goes.
No, I agree. I mean, that's such a weird power structure. It's strange. I don't know how that works when you don't know who the real boss is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of covered that, didn't
yeah.
you, though? I mean, Mike Brown's the president. And
yeah.
general manager, correct?
Yeah, it's although I will say in Cincinnati it was pretty clear that Marvin Lewis ran the 46-man roster and Duke Tobin put it together and had the other seven. It was so while on the outside it's muddy who Mike Brown, yes, has the general manager title, but that's cuz Duke Tobin didn't want it. But Duke's the GM. It's pretty in-town, in-team. It's a pretty clear delineation.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin has a lot of power there in terms of who plays, who's drafted.
Mike Brown decides on the head coach, right?
Mike Brown decides on the head coach.
Yeah.
So that was so in terms of that, I mean, people knew, you know. Here... You know, if the head coach doesn't have to answer to the general manager, I mean, what's the prevent? We've mentioned strong-headed, strong-willed, you know, Coach A from wherever. I mean, if he doesn't like the wide receivers that are drafted or signed, I mean, how it's just it's an interesting.
I just believe if Ron Wolf were, and I'm not trying to canonize Wolf more than he already has been, but I have this feeling that if Wolf were the GM and Rodgers were the quarterback right now, you know, if Wolf was the GM, he would be in Wolf's office and they would be talking about, what's going on here? You know, what's the deal? Why the bad body language? What, you know, what is it you want? You know, because he would talk to Favre all the time. You know, now Holmgren was a big, strong presence that he didn't need to step into much. But, you know, those guys were like, you know, butted heads all the time, Holmgren and Favre.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later that they kind of had their little love fest that, oh, we were great for each other, and it's too bad we couldn't go along, except they couldn't get along when they were together. So I don't know. I just think that there's too many balls in the air here for us to decide what's going to
happen. Right, and who knows? I mean, what are the – it makes you wonder what the marching orders are for even the general manager to agree. Is he – being directed to do certain things with the roster and season, and because it's in the best interest of helping the head coach win against Arizona, against Atlanta, does
have 100% control of it. So, you know, trading away Clinton Dix, while that may or may not have helped, you know, or hurt right away, hurt this year, he did it. So he clearly does have the roster in mind, but not having the coach, I think he deserves that. All right. Well, let's go right on to this terrific game we're going to be covering on Sunday. The 2-9 Arizona Cardinals come to town to face the 4-6-1 Green Bay Packers. Arizona ranked 32nd in offense. 32nd in rushing, 32nd in passing, 19th in defense, 30th in rushing, 4 in pass defense. So
32nd in first downs gained.
Unreal.
Third down percentage worse than the Packers of under 30%.
It's incredible, you know, what this team hasn't done.
I just say, for all the issues we just talked about the issues on the Packers on offense, I mean, they fired Mike McCoy after 6 weeks. They have a rookie quarterback. David Johnson, an all-world running back. You know, and Larry Fitzgerald's still around. He can catch.
Oh,
and a couple of young Christian Kirk and Ricky Seals-Jones. I mean, young pass catchers. But offensively, Tom, I mean, it is I don't know what that is. They don't score. They can't convert their – I mean, but Packers fans are like, that's us. Well, this is way worse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the number of touchdowns they've had.
I mean, they've scored 20 points twice this season. Twice.
That's that's incredible.
In this – in 2018.
This is what they've scored – this season, 6-0, 14, 17, at a big day against San Francisco, 28, 17, 10, 18, 14, 21, 10. I mean, man, that is bad.
This is one of those where, you know, the Packers have had some nice gambling lines, you know, at home, San Francisco, Miami, and I sat here and said I wouldn't take the Packers to cover that. I think they're 2 touchdown. You know, Packers might only score 27 points. It's still cover.
Yeah.
I mean, this is offense. Look, Josh Rosen's got some talent. He's only completing 55% of his passes. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Pettine has proved, regardless of who's in the secondary this week, Tom, I mean, he's going to do enough.
Look what he did to Josh
Allen. And even Mitch Trubisky in week one.
Yeah, right.
You know, these guys are – he's going to be able to throw a lot of stuff at them that – you know, puts the ball in play for turnovers, and you mentioned Josh Allen. I could see that sort of end of the game where it kind of steamrolls a little bit, and they get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean that's really going to be the key is quarterback. You know, getting after Rosen and getting some turnovers. That's been a real problem for them. I was just going to look up where they rank in interceptions, and it's not very high.
No, and while you take a peek at that, I mean, Allen has thrown, you know, 11 picks and 8 starts. You know, an interception percentage of 4.5%. yeah. you know, per attempt. I mean, that again, he's a rookie. So on one hand, you'd expect that to a degree, but it's just they have really struggled. So I think the Packers really, Tom, you know, it's about tackling. Because yeah. David Johnson, and look, Johnson especially, you get the ball in his hands, he's a dangerous guy. If you let him slip through one or two, this team is going to, it's like anything else. They'll be able to take it to the house or whatever. So it's tackling. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think Josh Rosen is ready to come into Lambeau in December and suddenly put it together.
And you know, if they're not playing eight men in the box the whole time, I mean, and doubling Larry Fitzgerald all day long, then something's wrong with
right.
them.
Right. And so I think Mike Pettine will – I'm not really concerned with a sudden Arizona offensive resurgence. I think for me – whether David Bakhtiari plays or not, it seems like he's managing his knee injuries. He practiced on a limited basis on Thursday. To me, it's a pass rush for the Cardinals that could present problems. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a lopsided statistical line on defense. The number four ranked pass defense in the league. One of the worst rush defenses in the league, and that's because teams just say, screw it, we're going to run it down your throat. Mm-hmm. And they just don't throw it a lot. Well, what do the Packers do? They like to drop back and throw. So, I mean, Patrick Peterson's still there. Buda Baker's back. Antoine Bethea's back. Deion Buchanan, I mentioned in some names people know. Chandler Jones has 11 sacks. That guy can wreck a game by hitting your quarterback.
Yeah, he can hurt you. Now, Buchanan's on the injury report.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
He hasn't practiced all week. I don't know if he's going to play. But, you know, they have 37 sacks, which is pretty decent.
And it's their front four that really gets after it. I mean, you know, Robert, Ann's got to forgive me for not being able to pronounce his last name. Kimdichie,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came back. You know, he had a few sacks last week. He's got 4.5. They sort of rotate around Chandler Jones. That whole defensive line, 4.5, 2.5, 3.5 sacks, those are guys who get after it in their front four. And, again, they're going to put Patrick Peterson on Devontae Adams.
I'm looking forward to watching that. Yeah. That's going to be – I may just keep my eyes on that the whole game because – that's going to be just a really good matchup. I mean, you're talking about probably the best corner in the NFL and one of the top receivers.
And look, Adams had his issues with Xavier Rhodes last week. I mean, there were some missed throws, but I mean, I think before the hamstring injury, he had the touchdown, but it wasn't like, you know, Devontae Adams wasn't en route to 10 catches.
Yeah,
although maybe it would have been if the throws were a little more accurate.
Yeah, I thought there were a couple times he spun Rhodes around more than I thought. That first touchdown, he just made an unbelievable move. But anyways, it's going to be a really good matchup. A couple of familiar faces actually. One just was put on IR, Jeremy Vucinic, who was a starting guard, former Packer. I'm not sure if he was ever on the on the 53. Might have been for a very short time. Quinton Rollins is on this team. You know, that'll be interesting to see what he's doing if he's active.
Right. Just added. I mean, and look, Zane Gonzalez, the kicker, has had some issues in his career kicking in poor weather in Cleveland, which is why he's in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, so I don't really think the Packers will lose this game, Tom. I think it's those two things. It's how we open the podcast. Where's this team at with Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
In terms of the preparation. And then, you know, whatever's going on the left side of the line, whether Bakhtiari's limited, slower, do they help if he's in, if Jason Spriggs has to start? I mean, there's enough there to... Look, they were leading, you know, before they were blown out last week in against the Chargers and Phillip Rivers' record day. They were leading 10-3. Mm-hmm. They forced a fumble, had the ball inside the 30 with a chance to go up three scores. and they turn the ball over. And we know then at, by the end of the day, Kent Summers, our colleague in Arizona, says the team quit on Steve Wilks. But, I mean, they were in that position because their defense hits the quarterback.
Yeah.
And can take the ball away. So that's the one area that if you're the Packers, you have to make sure you're ready for.
On the other hand, I'm going to make this argument that I might want to keep Bakhtiari off the field until the Bears game if it's an issue, yeah. Because he's got to, you know, that's the game they have to probably need as much as any, and they need him to play against Khalil Mack. But, you know, like you said, I mean, maybe they keep him up as an emergency player and start Spriggs. And then if, you know, Spriggs is a disaster, then they go to Bakhtiari. But I would be really careful with him. You cannot afford to lose him for the rest of the season.
No, that's – you're right about that. And I do think you can – and we've spoken about this in our many Aaron Jones-centric podcasts earlier in the year. What better way – to help your O-line or even guys who haven't played, than to just say, run forward.
Yeah.
Hand the ball off. And it's a really big – for as good as that pass rush has been for the Cardinals, their run defense is horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons, again, why they are so good against the pass statistically. It's teams just run it on them.
I'm kind of surprised the Packers have not tried – using Justin McCray as a tight end and then, you know, as a jumbo.
Yeah, like a heavy, yeah.
And just seeing if they could blast it on people because he's a really good run blocker. You put him next to Bulaga and Bell, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's the funny thing. I thought last week, Tom, you know, a must-win situation in terms of the playoffs in Minnesota. What empty the tank, right? I think I said that, I mean, aside from the first – 17 plays, which were really
were
well
nice.
Done. I don't know.
Really
I mean,
nice.
There was no – I don't feel like – I didn't sense any – I don't know if Justin McCray is in a jumbo is a desperation-type play, but, I mean, stuff like that. Of just, you know what, win Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think going heavy and giving – even Jamal Williams, getting him – just because it's such a clear – matchup advantage, and then also your concerns with your injuries to Lane Taylor and David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, and take the ball out of Rodgers' hands for a little while and see what happens. Maybe that's what he needs, you know? It's just not as punishment, but just as, okay, we can win, you know, running the ball. Just get him used to that a little bit. I am looking at defensive stats for Arizona, and they've given up net yards rushing 182, 90, 122, 171, 147, 195, 131, 107, 118, 152, 178.
Yeah.
So Aaron Jones should be licking his chops.
Yeah.
You know, even Jamal, like you said, Jamal Williams.
Right.
You know, Trey Carson, if he was healthy,
yeah.
You know,
exactly.
He might be licking his chop.
Exactly.
I don't know. So I'm going to look at that. If they go to just a heavy pass game, then I give up.
Yeah, know? I don't. Yeah, it's that would be really strange. Even if, as we said, you know, Randall Cobb sort of putting it out, Aaron Jones or Aaron Rodgers ready to light it up. I think you can. This team, you can light it up on 20 attempts.
Yeah,
18. I mean, Phillip Rivers is
what Phillip Rivers
exactly.
did. Yeah, exactly. 15 of 16
right.
for 197 yards,
yeah.
And you know, two touchdowns. And call it a day.
Yeah,
you know, let Aaron Jones do the work.
Yeah, and this is really, you know, we said it a couple times this year, Tom. The quote unquote get healthy game, and there's just a talent deficiency in Arizona.
Yeah,
and for as banged up as the Packers are in their secondary and on their special teams. And the left side of the line, I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, it is an NFL team. Crazy things can happen.
Yes,
right.
It can.
But
I've seen crazier. I've seen crazier. I saw the 97 Packers lose to a winless Indianapolis team,
yeah.
You know. So, believe me, anything can happen. So, all right. Well, I think that kind of covers it. Anything else we need to talk about or happened today? Anything interesting?
No, I think, you know, something I'm curious about, it's a little, and maybe it speaks to how we started the podcast with you know, the outside stuff. And something I thought was interesting, because the players are still talking about it in week 11, sort of a public accountability of their own play. And it's really taken off, Tom, in my view, since the anonymous player in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
ripping Ty Montgomery. And then ever since then, it's been, you know, Aaron Rodgers has said, and specifically the things he needs to do better. Aaron Jones, it's my fault we lost in New England. Tremont Williams puts his name to, hey, Mike McCarthy, go for it on fourth down,
mm-hmm.
and then is willing to stand there the next week and talk about the drop punt.
Mm-hmm.
And David Bakhtiari this week said it's not a – we need to point fingers at ourselves, and by doing that, he just feels – because the question to him was, why do you believe this team can rally, finish strong? He says it's because we're self-aware, we're looking at the man in the mirror, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what and to me, I don't know if that's – is that a team that is – is that just veteran leadership and guys putting into practice, like sort of learning from this anonymous player and seeing that, how that affected things? Or does that speak to the head coach to a degree that his influence in a way that, you know, because the coaches all say, we need to coach better. The players are saying, you're not seeing the festering that we talked about of –
No, I haven't seen that yet, but
right.
I always think some of that stuff is crap, what they're saying. You know, I don't know if Rodgers is really falling on the sword, you know. I believe Tremont Williams because he's consistent. He's consistent like that. Bakhtiari, you know, I don't know about Rodgers. If he's really, you know, usually in after a game is when – a player is most honest because he's just played the game. His emotions are at a high. You know, that's one of the reasons they open locker rooms to us, or they're supposed to be open so quickly, is to get the real reaction of what, you know, the game has been like and what they're feeling. And after that game, Rodgers said he threw two bad passes, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that kind of – all kinds of sirens were going off over my head on that. So I don't think they've quit. I don't think that'll happen. But, you know, it's got to be more than not quitting. It's got to be starting to build some momentum, starting to, you know, galvanize as a team.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether they're going to do that or not.
Jay Kumerow.
That's right. Let's go through the injury thing before we go. So Kevin King and Bashaud Breeland both practiced in a limited fashion. I think McCarthy said Kevin King's ahead of Breeland. I wouldn't be surprised if King plays this week. Breeland, Randall Cobb sounded like he wanted to play this week and that he probably will. Bakhtiari and Lane Taylor did a few things in practice, so they were limited. Trevor Davis out, Mike Daniels out. Raven Green out. Who am I missing?
Kentrell Bryce.
Kentrell Bryce out. So that's kind of where we're at. We'll know a lot more about that later Friday. And Jake Kumerow, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Ron Zook says he'd really like him to be his kick returner.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of practices with Jake Kumerow. I've never seen him return a kick.
Yeah.
So that'll be...
You know, I asked Philbin about that too. You know, everybody's expecting him to come out like a Pro Bowl player. But as he pointed out, he got hurt in the second preseason game, you know, mid-August. Did not practice until November 21st. You know, and you expect him to be Davante Adams? I'm not sure that's going to happen.
No, it's a good story though. I guess if he's back and catches two passes for 9 yards, but one of them's on third down. Hey,
yeah,
you know that might.
One's a 3-yard touchdown with 2 seconds left to win it.
Right.
Anyway, okay. Well, hopefully we've entertained you enough to not have. Shut us off by now. I just want to remind you that Potawatomi is our sponsor, and that you can see myself and Leroy Butler at the Fire Pit Sports Bar and Grill on Monday at 6 p.m. Actually, we could start at about 5:15. There's a raffle. Someone won a football with autographed Leroy Butler football from last week, and it's a lot of fun. Please come on down, and you can meet Mr. Butler, and you can get an autograph, and you can just walk past me right to him because he's the star. So please join us there Monday, like I said, this Monday and two Mondays after that. And also this New Year's Eve, Milwaukee's biggest party is at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, a huge dance floor, the hottest DJs, oh man, 24/7 gaming, and more. Make this a night you cannot miss. Info and tickets are at mkenyeve.com. All right, I'm going to give that to you one more time. Mkeny, you know, that's Milwaukee New Year's, in case you didn't know, Jim, eve.com. So go there, and we will catch you after the big game against Arizona.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the music, and see you later.